right, here we go. Episode 14, best threesome ever. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin. Are we sure it's 14? Did 13 ever get up?
13.
Did it get up?
Well, is this 13.5?
13 adjacent?
13 again?
13 again.
13 going 13 on 30?
Yeah, whatever. 13 going on 14? I don't know. Yeah, no, 13 actually didn't make it up.
Fellas will fall in line.
Oh, Jesus. No, 13 didn't get up. There was audio difficulties.
Probably my fault.
Probably, but whatever. Mm. It's a work in progress. I just blamed it because it was the 13th.
So I have a new phone. It doesn't die as quickly.
Between last week and this week, you got a new phone.
Right.
So best threesome ever, sponsored by
Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan, Minnesota. And I finally work in Eagan this Friday. I'm so going there on my lunch break.
I was just thinking about...
I haven't been there literally since last August.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while for me.
Mind's Eye Comics for all your comics and collectibles needs.
Yeah.
Or if also, you just want to go and bomb ass figures, guys.
Yeah.
You can set aside comics that you want. It's great.
Yeah,
all right.
DC Rebirth.
Oh, I need to pick that up.
I mean, I was going to say sad for them, but moving on.
So where do we want to start? X-Men?
X-Men. Yeah, let's start X-Men.
All right.
All right.
Let's round robin this.
Yeah, I was just saying, it's been like a week since we've seen it, so I think we should start with Kevin.
I liked it. I did. It definitely was not the strongest of the three, but it was good. I see the complaints.
By the way, spoilers ahead.
Yeah, spoilers ahead. I see the complaints that people have had, and while they're valid, some of them seem a little nitpicky, but I mean, for the most part, it was a pretty strong film, much stronger than X-Men: The Last Stand.
Oh, yeah.
I like the fact that that Sansa Stark made fun of it.
When they
were getting out of Return of the Jedi. Like, I think we all can agree, the third movie never works. But there was one, and I don't know if it was just some people felt it was shoehorned in, but I like that despite the fact that it took us six movies, I finally got a real Phoenix.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
You know what? That is one of the things about this movie that I really like.
Oh, I wish there had been more of that, because it was outstanding. Rose McGowan of Charmed movie Jawbreaker.
Yep. married to Marilyn Manson.
They showed her ass at that red carpet.
Yeah,
thing.
Thing. Yeah,
that
MTV
was,
Music
that
Awards.
Was a good day for Kevin.
Right,
but she
and in Jawbreaker she showed more.
She really went on a rant about this movie the other day.
Like about
Apocalypse choking Mystique.
Oh,
and
yeah.
How that
specifically
they don't,
the poster in L.A.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Poster in L.A. Up right now promoting the film, and it's a shot of Apocalypse holding Jennifer Lawrence's character Mystique around the throat, and that is all. It's a little tacky, admittedly.
It's tacky, but I don't think they're trying to glorify it. He's a fucking bad guy.
Yeah. Right.
Which, by the way, I have to say, I like Mystique better as a villain than a hero. While it's fun to watch her be an X-Man... I love that she was it. Like they took everybody's costumes from the '90s X-Men and put them at the end of the movie. Cyclops had the little Y belt, and she had the little white and blue thing.
Yes.
At the end of the movie, I admit I was like, but
I was too. I admit that
it finished so strong. Apocalypse was a little weak.
A little, yeah.
Yeah, that's the nice way of putting it. But anyway.
And that's really my only complaint. Other than that, I enjoyed the film. Once again, they knocked it out of the fucking park with the Quicksilver scene.
Oh, Jesus. Yes.
If they could just put a Quicksilver scene into every movie, and I don't mean every X-Men movie, I mean literally every movie.
Right.
A new Quicksilver scene,
what
I would
amazing
be okay.
Song
like the new
choice
Nicholas
too.
Sparks movie. I don't just put it in there.
What a perfect song choice, too.
Oh, right? Sweet Dreams?
Yeah.
Just get me some Eurythmics and let's do this. It was, and that's why I think it's so much stronger than X-Men: The Last Stand. It had more enjoyable moments.
Yes,
it did.
The thing that is really bothering me though, and it bothered our good friend Graham as well.
Okay.
Is the fact that they do not look like they are in their early 50s, which is how old Michael F. Fassbender and Mr. Tumnus are supposed to be in this movie.
Oh, God, no.
James McAvoy?
I know his name. I'm still going to call him Mr. Tumnus.
He was Mr. Tumnus.
I know.
We can call him Private Miller if you want to use the Band of Brothers reference.
Nobody wants to use the Band of Brothers reference.
It's a good movie.
It was a movie.
Or it was a miniseries, whatever. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
So it was a thing that happened.
So Mr. Tumnus, not being 50.
So they're supposed to be much older. Now, balding him up did age him a bit. And you could see the age in Michael's eyes, but they're not where they're supposed to be. The only person who looked their age was Mystique, and that's because she ages more slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take Havoc, who, by the way, is the new MacGyver in the new MacGyver series, and I'm super excited.
Shut up! He looks like MacGyver.
Oh my god, it's awesome! Perfect. Watch the trailer for it; it's amazing. So he has not aged a day since First Class.
No, he hasn't,
and he's supposed to be 20 years older. So, like, these guys in 18 years, give or take, are supposed to look like Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. Nope.
And yeah. I felt that nope. I just what has bothered me about these movies is that McAvoy looks the same age as his students. I mean, and they probably in real life probably are. I'd have to take a look, but exactly. He should be older. And it bugs me that he's not.
Well, okay, so
and Fassbender at least looks a little bit older. He looks a little bit more rugged in the face.
He does. And I like that.
I do too.
Also.
But he still didn't look 50s. No. He looked early 40s at most. And that's
pushing it.
Early 40s late 30s. If you had some city miles on you.
Yeah.
Right. On the other hand, I feel like you could have just written it in with a throwaway line of mutants also age slower.
And until we hit 60 and then we melt, are they all Asian?
Yes.
Okay.
Fair enough.
A little bit black.
Yeah.
Just the skin, just the complexion.
A lot of
not the actual skin tone, just the complexion.
But there was...
Wow, that sounded super racist after I said it.
Yeah,
I didn't mean it to.
Derailed my train of thought.
I didn't mean it to.
But on the whole, I found it very enjoyable. And Sansa Stark's American accent was hilarious.
Right? Did you not think that like they gave her like just like three or four lines at a time because it was like you could tell that she was struggling?
She'll get there.
Clearly.
But...
Give the girl time.
It was horrible.
But I wish there had been a little bit more Jubilee. I thought she was... I wanted to see her
do something.
I did too.
She didn't use a single... Like, I wanted her to...
fireworks
power. And I use that in its classic terminology of prone to fits of frolicking.
That's what she... Yeah. I actually wanted to see her power. I was like, I saw her. You see her in the preview. And I was like, I want to see her power. Just... purely for my own personal entertainment, and they didn't, and I was kind of saddened by that.
The Wolverine scene was pretty cool.
Weapon X?
Yeah, where you actually got Weapon X and the headgear.
I'm not going to lie. I was
annoyed at how old he looks, because
he's looking really old.
Hugh Jackman's starting to look a little rough.
Yeah,
which, I mean, it happens. And
it's been 17 goddamn years.
It's weird that they set up... this super awkward pedophilic connection between him and Jean Grey and Logan.
Yeah.
Right? Holy crap.
Yeah. I felt so dirty in that scene.
I may have liked it.
Oh, don't.
Alexander. Days of Future Past is still the strongest.
Nope. Good God, yes.
By leaps and bounds.
I would say this and First Class are at least on par. I think First Class is still better,
but there are also things that this one did better.
Yeah, I would agree.
One thing I think Days of Future Past really boned was killing off Banshee.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked Banshee and his goofy Irish ass since the made-for-TV Generation X movie.
Yes.
We have to bring up this god-awful travesty of a movie every three podcasts or so.
All right, fine. Then I'm going to start bringing up the Justice League TV movie.
Shh, 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 shh.
Are you good?
Yeah. Yeah, we got.
I was going to say that I agree with a lot of the points that you said, Kevin, and a few things that I really liked. I really love the ending, like you said. Like, you're just super giddy. You're like, oh, my God, they're totally in there.
It was great that they were in the costume.
Pure X-Men.
Beautiful.
Pure unadulterated X-Men.
And I actually liked this movie better than I thought I would. Like, I was expecting a good movie.
Yeah.
And I felt that this was better than I expected. I was like, I'm enjoying this. Like we've talked before, they showed Storm finally as a juvenile delinquent that she was supposed to be at the beginning.
Yeah, a little weird they made her more of the northeast kind of Muslim instead of the kind of Central African that she was in the comics.
Right.
But I'm okay with it.
I have no qualms with it, none whatsoever.
Right.
I think we've actually been needing some, like, a good Middle Eastern
character.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And
Alexander Shipp just knocked out of the park. I wish he had a little bit more to do.
A lot more to do. I would have liked to see a lot more Storm.
I was sad to see Psylocke remain the bitch.
Bad person.
The fact that she ran off all salty was a little sad.
Right.
No idea what the fuck they're doing with Angel. That's super weird.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like this: the Angel in X-Men 3 is just a different guy then. Because this one clearly got crushed by he got a building thrown at his face, so.
Well, yeah, but the thought I've heard is that we've officially moved into an alternate universe now because the previous universe was very clearly the Days of Future Past universe.
Yeah.
And now that that's been corrected, Angel has a different path in life, and his new path is blocked by a building falling on him.
But, I mean, they're not even the same age. I mean, in X-Men 3, he was in his early 20s, and in X-Men Apocalypse, he's clearly in his early 20s.
Right. Yeah. I've always felt that this is a different timeline than the.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But that's what I'm just trying to say. Maybe there can be two mutants of similar powers.
Right.
So. And they never call him Warren Worthington.
No, they don't.
They don't.
So if anything, he's just a different mutant who happens to also have wings.
That's true. Very true. So I loved Nightcrawler. I love that guy that played him.
He was delightful.
He was
X-Men Spider-Man.
I liked his 15-year-old scene girl haircut.
Yes.
Right?
But he was enjoyable.
Which was very 1980s.
Extremely 1980s.
It is the Avalon.
And his Michael Jackson jacket that he was wearing.
Oh, God, that was great. There were just moments of anytime he was on screen, I just wanted him to start going, I don't care if Monday's... Like, I just wanted him to break out some fucking Cure or a little Depeche Mode, maybe.
Well, that movie probably
could have just gone full out 80s and just started going, her name is Rio, and like, I would have loved that.
I would have been okay with that, actually. The one part that I had a problem with, though, is when he clearly states that his power is, and we all know that, he can't teleport somewhere unless he's either seen it before or he's been there before, or has a clear line of sight. But then somehow he's able to...
He mentions he can do it, but it's difficult.
Oh, is that what it was? Because
he did it
with the pyramid.
In X2, he mentions he can do it, but it's difficult.
Right, and I remember that. But in this one, it just seemed like... And I knew that. But he walked in, you know, he poofed into the pyramid with no problem. And he's... I mean, he said he was getting lost, but he seemed to be jumping around there pretty well. I mean, like I said, minor quip. Phoenix, I loved it. I loved the scene. I loved seeing her get all Phoenix-y. I just felt it was kind of like a premature, like, and I don't know if it was just like a taste of the Phoenix, like Jean's just kind of letting loose, and because
the studio said that they want to try again on the Phoenix thing,
right? And
they want to try again, really,
and
that was spectacular.
And I could be wrong.
No, I mean, as in they want to try the Phoenix saga over again.
Oh.
Like they want to.
I'd
be
okay
with
that.
The next one to be the Phoenix Saga,
and
which is why I wish they would make a deal with Marvel, because then, you know, with the whole Guardians of the Galaxy thing, it wouldn't be weird to bring in the Shi'ar.
No, not at all. True. And that's what I've always been waiting for in all these movies, especially when they started bringing in the Phoenix. I'm waiting for that.
I want Gladiator, goddammit.
Right? but that was my thing, was that I could be wrong, because it's been a while since I've read the comic book. I thought Jean didn't really turn into the Phoenix until much later, not so early in her X-Men career, if you will, that, you know, she didn't become the Phoenix until much later, and so that's only my little quip.
But they've already established in this universe that she's always sort of been the Phoenix.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because, I mean, in X-Men 3, stop it. He's threatening me with a box cutter because I took a sip of his pop. They established in X-Men 3 that she was Phoenix at a very young age when the professor, you know, went to go meet her for the first time.
Yeah. But I guess I, yeah, and I just, I guess, I like I said before, like I said before, I felt that this is a different universe, so I've always just kind of separated the two, even though they make some references to the other ones, but I just feel like these are two separate universes, so I've always kind of separated them.
And the fact that they have connected them in
shut up
past, they're clearly the same people.
These are the same people, yes, but now it's
Hugh Jackman. I meant
new alternate universe, yes, because they yes, fixed Days
because
of
they
Future
fixed
past.
Of
but alternate universe, yes, but just like in Star Trek, Zachary Quinto is still going to grow up to be
Spock. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Nimoy.
Yep, I see what you're saying.
Sure.
And then Weapon X, I was delightful.
Separate but equal. These movies are separate.
That's
but
a good way to put it. Yes.
No, it's not.
No, it's no, a perfect it's way to put it, because that is what the X-Men is. It's all about civil rights and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's on the Martin Luther King and Malcolm X side, yes, not, you know, the George McGovern side. I'm really, really happy I just pulled that out of my ass.
I was kind of impressed, I'm not going to lie.
Mildly impressed.
But
fuck you.
When I saw that, you know, the preview with just the Wolverine hand thing, I was like, oh, no, don't bring him in here.
Right.
But I was actually like, okay, it's Weapon X.
Yeah.
I'm 100% okay with that.
They brought him in for a very good reason.
Yes, and that makes sense, and then it ties, you know, the other stories, you know, like we said with the other X-Men movies where the same place and the...
Yeah, I was like, as soon as I figured out what they were doing and she started opening that cage, I'm like, oh, you guys are in the place of fuck now.
Right, right, because you hear him grunting and groaning in there like he's humping something and he's just...
It's a teddy bear.
It's just a teddy
it's
bear.
Going bananas on it. It has red hair. It's okay.
And I was kind of like, and I was wondering before they even opened that door, I'm like, oh, inside
yes, Nick,
jokes.
Before they opened the door.
Before they opened the door, that if they were going to go with the Weapon X thing and actually have them all wired up, and I was kind of glad they didn't do like the big cartoony
visor.
Yeah. They just did the partial thing. And yeah, it was weird that he got all weird and pedophilia.
It is weird that he got all weird.
I was referring to the Jean Grey scene. Yeah. But
it was a little awkward.
That's the
But I think they're also setting up why he was so infatuated with this woman that he didn't really know.
Right.
So they were basically giving... I understand why they did it. They're basically giving... like, because people have complained that his obsession with her is super awkward. And they've basically said, now here's why. And we're like, oh.
Right.
Right.
That doesn't make it better.
It doesn't make it better, but it gives it an explanation. She is his place of calm. Because in X-Men Origins, the comic, they basically explain his obsession with Jean Grey because his first love looked exactly the fuck like her, and Sabretooth got in her face. But
neat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so they had to give a really good reason. Like this is like he had a crush, and then the movies just took that crush just way too far. Like yes, you had to kill her. That was unfortunate, but she hasn't even seen your penis. Just calm down.
But he was like, I want to show you my penis.
Psylocke is right over there.
Right. Well, and
Storm. You guys are in love in the comics during the Days of Future Past thing.
Yeah, and
married.
Right. And what about Rogue? I mean, didn't he have like a thing for Rogue for a while, or was that my imagination?
And now the hedging orchestra.
I always saw, even in the movies, she was a little infatuated with him, but he just saw her as more of a like a little sister, just something to protect, a ward, if you will.
That said,
speaking of which, I hear Adam West and Burt Ward are working on a project together, and I don't know they haven't announced what it is yet, but all I know is I just heard that news and I'm really excited.
What? Oh, God. Oh,
so anyway,
bottom line.
No, shut up. I want to give me.
This is a podcast. We can't shut up.
Yeah, we can't. We got to keep talking.
No,
go sit in the corner and touch yourself, okay?
All right.
But don't face us. Stop it.
Can you edit that out later?
Yes, I can.
But don't edit this out. I want them to wonder what they missed.
Okay. We'll put that noise at the very end. The very end of the box.
Yeah, yes! Like an after credit.
Yes.
Speaking of.
But
speaking
I just want to finish my thought on X-Men. You interrupted me with your moment in the corner. That's me in the corner. Songs about masturbation. If you listen to it, it's really funny if you think of that. Anyways, all in all, I liked the movie, and I felt that this was the X-Men movie that I've wanted to see. It, like we've said, I agree with you guys, it's not like the strongest, but certainly the X-Men movie that I wanted to see, that the inner child of me wanted to see.
Weirdly, it would have made a perfect first X-Men movie.
It would have.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I actually agree with you.
Both Crystal and I really enjoyed the opening on this one, the little tunnel through history thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we found that very enjoyable.
Okay. Is it my turn now?
80s, I suppose. Does it have to be your turn?
Yes, it has to be my turn because I haven't really talked about it yet. But
Kevin, can you talk again? Go ahead, Rob.
No, fuck you.
So the after thing.
So the Tony Awards are coming up.
Can I talk about this movie?
You mean the excited. Hamilton Awards?
Yeah. Hamilton Awards are coming. All right. No, okay. So X-Men. So, all right, I'll talk about the after credits scene real quick first. I liked it. I really liked it.
The after
credits scene was interesting, if a little, slim.
Yeah, it took me a while to remember what they were doing.
Like, I had to look it up.
I did.
Well, I didn't have to look it up. Sean Beveridge was sitting next to me, and he.
I had to look it up.
I had forgot about the Essex Corporation. Right. And Graham was like, "Mr. Sinister."
And I remember
Mr. Sinister.
Could you think they could put Sinister in Phoenix? If they're doing the Phoenix Saga, was Sinister part of that Phoenix Saga? Or?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? Replace the Shi'ar and give...
Well, replace the Hellfire Club with the Essex Corporation.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
No, that makes
sense. So you like the end credit scene?
So I like the end credit scene, but overall, I really like the movie. It was a little uneven, though.
It was a little uneven. But like I said, and that's sadly what would have made it the perfect first
look. Yeah, yeah.
And there it shows some of the suits, and you feel you get such an X-Men vibe off the end. The end and the Quicksilver scene were worth everything else in the movie. And Storm.
And Storm.
And Storm.
Storm. Kevin's daydream.
Storm was great. She looked spectacular. She is exactly the Storm I've wanted for years. I just didn't know I wanted something better than Halle Berry.
I did.
I did. I did not like Halle Berry's Storm. I'm sorry. I didn't.
I liked her in the first one because remember when she had an accent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She, with the exception of that stupid-ass Toad line, she was fine in the first one. And then she got... Then she had to Halle Berry all over the role.
Yeah. Whatever. She still gets...
Ruining it.
Yes.
No, Alexander Shipp just she.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
Also, let's not forget Halle Berry gets naked in Swordfish.
Yeah.
And Monsters Ball.
And that weird
movie where she had the split personalities. And probably the one where she's the 911 operator. I don't know.
Swordfish was the best, though, because she was like in this. It was great.
Anyways.
I loved her in Swordfish.
She had quality nudity in Monsters Ball. You just had to see her get the crap pounded out of her by Billy Bob Thornton, and that was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
because he makes you feel uncomfortable.
I know. Instead, in Swordfish, she's just sitting on a beach chair lounging and telling Hugh Jackman to go hack some shit, which was awesome.
And you just sit there and go, Storm and Wolverine.
Right. And they like having a little love fight in there, like in the comic book, they're in love because Storm and Wolverine.
But anyways, so I thought the movie was good. There were some great moments. Quicksilver, holy shit.
God, he looked older, too.
He's the only one that looked like he aged.
Yeah.
He's the only one that looked older. It was good.
Yeah, but he looks significantly older,
and that's the thing is he went from a teenager to like mid-20s.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he's still living in his mom's basement.
Good for him. It's the '80s; it was acceptable back then.
Was it?
No, it wasn't.
No, it's acceptable now.
Is it?
Yeah.
What?
Really?
Millennials kind of suck.
Clean my
it's
clothes.
A hard economy out there. Let's not blame the millennials.
It is a hard economy.
Also, I hate to break it to you, you fall in the millennial.
Fuck you. I do not.
Bracket. You do.
Yeah. I fall in that. Here's the thing. I fall in that, like, sliver of time where it's like, you're a millennial. No, you're Generation X. No, you're something else in between.
You're Gen Y.
You're You're actually in the millennial Gen Y border.
Yeah,
If anyone's on the border of Gen X and Gen Y, it's this.
Yeah, I know. It's you guys.
Because Gen Y was actually very brief.
Yeah,
very.
It was
very
like brief 5 years
because we have completely changed since 1990 yeah. and I think 1998 even.
Right. I think I officially fall into a Gen X category now. I think I'm a Gen Xer. I was born in 79.
Oh, yeah, no. you're old. Anyways.
Fuck off.
Yes, you fall into the Gen X category.
Even though that's only 4 years older than me, it sounds a lot older than that.
Yeah.
Because 70s and 80s.
Here's the thing. According to different studies, you are either Gen X or you're Gen Y.
No, correct.
Or millennial. No, seriously.
Really?
No,
seriously.
I'd like to see that.
But
I'll find the article and I'll show it to you. But there's an article that has a little graph of it that says blankety blank to 1982, Gen X. Or is it 84? Okay. Well, Gen Y is from 82 to 90. Or is Gen Y actually Generation Millennial and it goes from 84 to like 2000? Or is Millennial actually 1990 to 2006? It's so fucked.
I always thought Millennials were after 1990. That's just what I've... Because then there's that weird, like, that 82 to 90 or 84 to 90. Yeah, that's the Gen Y. Where do they fit in?
Yeah, my thing is the Gen Y or the term I like to use is the Generation Native Internet.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
82 to 90.
Yeah.
Because we grew up with the birth of the internet.
I can accept that.
Yeah.
So back to X-Men.
Sorry.
We Kevin Smith the shit out of these topics.
I don't care. That's actually a really important thing to me because I'm like, because putting the labels on these things makes it just really...
I just hate labels.
No matter how you cut it, my last girlfriend was a millennial.
Yep.
And like I think on the tail end of it too.
Tail end.
The tail end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Crystal.
Hashtag sorry, not so sorry.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Yeah.
We can edit
that. Okay, so no, don't edit that out.
The best part is she's laughing her ass off right now.
Right. Well, after she hears this, so
right. That and she made the joke 2 seconds before I did already. I'm sure.
Probably.
But okay, so X-Men, Quicksilver scene, great. The going out being regular teenagers. They didn't need it.
They didn't need it.
They need an excuse to get them out of the mansion.
Yeah, but or they could have had Quicksilver fucking save them.
But they're the elite crowd. They don't need saving, man.
Yeah, they're the elite.
Shut your fucking whore mouth. Moving on.
Was there a Kitty Pryde? There wasn't a Kitty Pryde in this movie.
There was not a Kitty Pryde.
Or if there was, she was a very background character.
Kitty Pryde was also a wee baby at this point. Because remember, she's Ellen Page.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Also,
same reason there wasn't like an Iceman or...
And here's the fun thing.
Even though they're the original X-Men.
Fuck. Yeah, I know.
Right.
Continue, I'm sorry.
This is the part that bothers me about the aging thing. I didn't really care too much about Assbender and... Oh, fuck you. I hate that you made me do these things. F. Assbender. And McAvoy were... this is an awful laugh. I hate that laugh.
I love it. Keep doing it.
Pretentious asshole. Moving on.
Wow. Hi, Teapot. How you doing? My name's Kettle. Black son of a bitch. Not in a racist way, guys.
Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy don't age very well. And that didn't bother me until I thought about it just now with Days of Future Past.
I was going to say, when I reminded you and how they're supposed to look in the next 15 years.
No. It wasn't how they looked with, you know, Stewart and McKellen. It was that they got aging right with Ellen Page and Bobby Drake.
Yeah.
The actor's name is Sean Ashmore. There it is. But they got aging right.
Beard. Yeah. Which made him look a lot older.
Yeah.
It really did.
And Ellen Page looked like she had the middle age weight thing
I don't know how to best describe that, but it's like
I still, you know, I think Ellen Page like is that, adorable.
She's absolutely adorable, but they did like makeup or something that made her just look in her 40s because it looked like she had a little extra weight around the jowls or something.
Sure,
I don't know, but they made her look old enough. They made Sean Ashmore look old enough.
Okay,
Storm, whatever. Moving on. That's like it didn't.
She's
bother
black,
me.
But it's, don't worry about that.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Well, that's the thing is that that movie still progressed with the same time. Like that, the future of Days of Future Past took place not terribly long after when it was filmed, like early 2020s, I think it was.
Yeah.
So you know.
Something like that.
And I feel Halle Berry will still look pretty much the same as she does now in 2022.
Yeah, probably. But then she'll have actual Storm hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she'll look like Storm? Oh, dear.
I quit.
Anyways, so that bothers me now that I think about it. Otherwise, I don't know. Apocalypse was not very good.
I don't feel like they showcased him enough. They didn't show his true potential of power.
It just
what's
felt
it like going through life being such a fucking pessimist about movies? Like, how can you exit something that's fun and just be like, no, it didn't do it for me? Like, I can't understand
that level of
hating life to just hate everything.
I don't hate life. I'm realistic.
Fun that much.
I am fun. I have fun. I actually had
when?
Fun.
How can you come out of Apocalypse and be like, it wasn't very good? I can understand saying it was okay or it had its moments.
No. I liked the movie.
You
it
just
was
said
fun.
You didn't.
No. I meant the character Apocalypse. I didn't like the character Apocalypse. Sorry. I feel like we got confused there.
I feel like you had just said.
Said Apocalypse wasn't very good. What I'm referring to is the character himself. It was a little one note. The rest of the movie made up for him.
Which is too bad, because Apocalypse really is very...
He's a very complex character
very deep
in the
character.
Comics. Yeah. He's amazing in the comics.
When I apologize for yelling at you, because I thought you meant the movie, because all he said was Apocalypse, and I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, no. It's okay. I love you.
Come with us on this journey and rollercoaster of emotions that we send each other on. It's an enjoyable ride. Highs, lows...
I don't hate everything automatically, you asshole. I liked Civil War. But everyone likes Civil War, to be fair.
Yeah, it seems like things that the general public loves and the general public dislikes, you agree with them on all the points instead of having your own opinion.
True.
Okay.
The general public dislikes...
Wouldn't that be funny if you liked Ghostbusters different. 3?
Yeah.
I'm super excited. Yeah. Thinking about this for like... I've been thinking about this for the last few days. The three of us need to go see Ghostbusters together.
That was actually something I had said multiple times, even at the last podcast.
Oh, God,
so
that's right.
By
you did
you're
say
thinking
that.
About, you mean I told
I
you.
I remembered.
Yes.
Yeah, you said it and I remembered and thought it was my own idea because my memory is that shoddy. Yeah.
But yes, no, I really do feel like the three of us need to see this and experience this.
Yeah.
Can we podcast from the theater?
I don't think they'll... Wait a minute.
They probably won't let
wait
us.
A minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, wait. You know somebody that works in
I
the
do
theater.
Know somebody that works in the theater.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, my God. This could be amazing.
This could be amazing.
When does this movie come out?
July?
Yeah, it's July. It's
July 15th.
Riff tracks the shit out of this thing.
Oh my God. We could... Mystery Science?
Well, they're Riff Tracks now.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it's called? Oh. Yeah.
Or Cinematic Titanic, depending on which company you're talking about.
Exactly. But the people who used to do that started doing two
riff
different
tracks.
Ones.
I didn't know that. I've heard that, but I didn't make the connection that they changed their name. Okay, gotcha now. Riff Tracks.
It's not the official show, and there's no robots. And
but they should.
It's just an audio you download and play at the same time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We should totally. But then we really can't pay attention to the movie for talking.
Which, I cannot lie, my favorite riff tracks is Twilight. It's outstanding. Do it.
But you have to sit through Twilight.
But you don't really. You just look at it while they make fun of it, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. I can deal with that. Is it like listening to the audio commentary?
Yeah.
Okay. But funnier and funny. Better?
That said, I saw the riff tracks of live of Starship Troopers. Delightful.
Nice.
Delightful. But my favorite by far is them doing the riff tracks on the movie Cold as Ice.
Shut your fucking whore mouth. I'm watching that as soon as I get home.
Yeah. There's a Ninja Turtles 2 reference.
Oh, nice. I bet there is.
Oh, God. It's awesome. Oh, for those that don't know, Cold as Ice is the dubious debut.
Cold as Ice.
No, it's the dubious debut of Vanilla Ice as an actor.
Yes. Yep.
It was bad.
Horseshit.
He gets rapey in a scene.
Oh, a little bit.
Other than playing himself, I think that was his first and last.
And only. Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, he had a very, very small part in the movie The New Guy, but he was basically playing himself.
Yeah.
Oh,
his. And that's when his goatee got all long, and he was braiding it. And
oh, no.
When he did that, like, new rock version
of... New rock version of Ice Ice Baby?
Called... Too Cold.
Yeah. Too Cold? Oh, God. That he did I loved
that version. He did with Korn. Right. And I did, too. I loved it when it came out. I listened to it all the time. I just re-listened to it literally 2 days ago.
And?
Does not hold up.
I disagree. I'm going to have to listen to it in my car on the way
home. Do it. And you're going to be like, I like this. You suck, 1999, Kevin. Or in your case, Rob.
Yeah.
Bubba.
Bubba.
Opie.
Oh, no. Yeah, overall, X-Men, I liked it for the parts that were great, but it was a little uneven, and I wish it had been a little better. And you're right, it should have been the first film instead of the third film.
Sixth
film, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't care. Point is, I want to go back to the Return of the Jedi scene real quick, because I saw that, and they're like, yeah, the third one is never the best. And I went... I know you're making a joke about The Last Stand, and that's okay.
But you're really also making a joke about yourself, yeah, and you don't realize it.
But I feel like you just foreshadowed for half the audience. And that's not good, myself included, because after that moment, my expectations bottomed out. Because they said that, and I'm like, okay, so I shouldn't expect anything good from the rest of this movie. Thanks, movie, for telling me.
But if it lowers your expectations and then they exceed your expectations, then they've won.
And it worked for them. Like, it was successful.
It did. I was like
feel like they didn't need to.
I felt that when I saw it, I was one of the only people that laughed at that line.
Really? Because I
must be seeing it with the wrong audiences. I swear to God.
I think so.
I
should go watch movies with Sean Beveridge. Because he's my favorite movie-going partner.
You should watch movies with me.
And
I am a delight at movies.
Yeah, we've been to a few movies.
You should watch movies with Kevin and me and Sean Beveridge, but put me way at the other end because I'll...
Cause talk to Sean Beveridge?
Yeah. Sean and I will go back and forth and say, oh, that thing from the comics. That thing from the... Yeah.
And if you talk to the movie, I'll have to kill you.
Yeah.
I don't like people to talk during movies.
I am much better at it now since I have a girlfriend who works at the movie theater and she hates that... So I have suppressed that urge now.
Mm-hmm. See, and here's the reason I wanted you to see Batman vs. Superman with me. Because Kevin Smith, in his post-review of Batman vs. Superman... No, the
one in his car.
The review about his review.
Oh, okay.
Basically saying, you know, I came out of it saying I didn't find a lot of joy in it. But then I went and saw it with Jason Mewes.
Oh, yeah.
Who
was...
I heard this one.
An excited... almost childlike awe the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I found the joy in Batman versus Superman. Him. See it with somebody who finds joy from it, and you'll find the joy in it.
Okay.
Boom.
Mic dropped. Don't drop the mic.
Anyone who ever has done a mic drop has clearly never had to buy a microphone.
Right. Or didn't care.
Right.
Or they say, if I break it, I'll buy you a new one.
So,
yeah. Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stoppin' came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's been getting decent reviews.
That doesn't surprise me. The Lonely Island guys usually do pretty well, I think.
And I'm going to...
In my opinion.
I'm going to see the shit out of this movie and probably, if not the next couple of days, at least the next week or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I also need to see the new Toytles, though. I just found out that Brad Garrett is the voice of Krang.
What? Oh, my God.
That is something I literally found out yesterday. I had no idea about.
That
took this movie from, like, I'm going to see it to I need to see this.
And I can't believe I didn't notice this before, but think it's Bebop? One of the two of Rocksteady and Bebop. One of them is played by Sheamus, who's a WWE
wrestler.
Yeah, and Garrett, I don't know why I didn't.
Anthony Anderson.
I didn't. See why I didn't
Rocksteady the Rhino.
I didn't understand why I didn't see that before. I'm like, how did I miss that Seamus, the most whitish Irish guy ever, is playing.
Right.
Which is totally fine. I mean, he's a big, strong, burly man, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Turtles. I'll probably see it this week, because I have this week off, because I took vacation. I was supposed to go to New York, but I can't go to New York now because flights were too fucking expensive. Speaking of New York, let's talk about the Tonys, or as we called them,
the Hamilton
Awards. Right?
So it's going to be, straight up, Hamilton is going to win everything at the Tonys this year.
How could they not? How could they not?
Well, there is this thing where
they might not win best
the Tonys
makeup.
Are like... the Golden Globes, in which
they
do movies and TV. Tonys do musicals and plays.
Right, so they can't do plays.
Hamilton's not going to win Best Play. That's probably going to Richard III this year, because it always goes to a Shakespeare.
It's funny if it would, though. Somehow Hamilton got nominated for a play.
Right. Or sorry, it's King Richard, not Richard III.
And if you try to go to New York and see Hamilton, I can tell you, because I've looked online, tickets now are like $3,000.
Oh yeah,
and they're booked sold out.
And they're booked out till like
2021.
No, well, they're booked out till 2017 at least.
Yeah,
they haven't released.
I was just trying to be funny, but
oh no, I know.
But go ahead and correct it.
No, it's not unrealistic. That's the thing.
That's unbelievable. And I mean, just even thinking about, do you think Lin-Manuel thought that this thing would blow up this big?
I don't think he did. I think he would. I think when he started writing this, he went, "Oh, I've got a good idea for a show." Yeah. And then during previews, I think he went, "We might play this for a real long time."
The Heights played for
5 years.
Yeah,
played for 5 years, which is long for a musical these days,
especially for a new musical.
Yeah, for a new musical, they get about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Is the average.
Yeah.
The big ones tend to go for years. Wicked's still on Broadway. Cats was on forever.
Well, it's again revived.
I don't want to talk about Cats either.
Nobody wants to talk about Cats.
I do want to talk about Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, it's interesting how popular and how long Cats ran despite the fact that nobody I know likes it.
Right? There's no real storyline. It's
memories
just
all alone in the moonlight.
I really wish people could see Kevin.
I will admit, I like the little Elvis cat. What was
Elvis cat?
Name? Yeah, the Rum Tum Tugger. That's his name.
Oh yeah, I suppose.
I wish I couldn't have pulled that out of my ass. Yeah, I liked his song. That's about it, though.
It's all sexy and...
It's like super sexy and like...
I remember the first time I saw that show, it was probably the first like big Broadway show that I saw, and I was maybe, I don't know how old I was, fourth grade. And we sat maybe fourth row, orchestra level, and I was right on the fucking aisle, and at the beginning, when they come down the aisle with their stupid glowing eyes and they get in your face, I think that made me my fear of sitting in the aisle during musicals or shows, because I don't want people to... I'm like, it scared the shit out of me.
You don't
want to
interact with the,
no,
with the show?
Not at
that
all.
Much anyways.
Not at all.
which is why one of my most joyous moments was when we went to see Rocky Horror Picture Show not too long ago as a group. And I got to watch our friend Izzy, her husband Rob, who we all know and love, watching his face as the extras, some of the cast members are in our aisle, like gyrating with each other.
Oh, yeah, two dudes.
Yeah, and just watching Rob's face as he's mortified by what is happening, because you can tell they want to interact with him, but they can also tell that he does not want to interact with them.
Which drives them to want to interact with them more. And to clarify, Rocky Horror was a Rocky Horror was a show that I designed back this past fall, and so it was a live show. It wasn't like the movie.
Yeah.
It was the actual...
You were part of that?
Rocky Horror? I'm going to stab you. Maybe Rob will like the next show that's less interactive, which is Avenue Q. So.
No, it's not less interactive. There's a whole fucking song about being interactive with the goddamn audience.
But that's just to give them money. That's the money song. And
it's the Hat Pass song.
Right, but really it's a Hat Pass.
Why don't we have that in the stocks?
We should have a Hat Pass song, clearly.
We should.
Because we always disclaimer our show that we do not pass the hat because their crimes have been paid for.
Yeah.
Remember that part about not passing the hat? We lied. Give us money.
Once. Do it once. Just do it once and see what happens.
And I'm not claiming one red penny of that.
Correct. I think we should do it like after when we have one of those big audiences,
Get them.
We say we don't pass the hat, but right now we're lying.
Right. But anyway, so the Tonys are happening. Hamilton's going to win everything. But there are a couple things, little musicals of note that I feel, musicals and plays that I feel should be mentioned. If you haven't heard the soundtrack to School of Rock, it's delightful.
I wholeheartedly believe that I should be in that show.
You should. You should. You should be.
I feel like once
Jack
it's
Black.
Off Broadway, I feel
you should be the
I
Jack
feel
Black.
Like if it ever came to Minnesota, I feel like I could try out and possibly get that role.
Do it.
Yeah. The only problem is you'd have to sing Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I'm okay with that.
It's just cats. It's really just cats.
It's really just cats.
Oh no, my hatred for Andrew Lloyd Webber goes deeper.
Did you know Jesus Christ Superstar? Did you know that I like Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
That you like
mm-hmm.
Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you in Joseph?
I was. The reason why I like it, and it's,
I hate
it's,
it. I'm sorry.
It's weird.
I hate Joseph.
And a lot of people do, and I like it, and I shouldn't because A, I'm not a religious person at all. But right. It was my first real, like, Broadway style musical that I saw
really?
Professionally done,
cool.
It was back when Donny Osmond was still playing.
Right.
Oh,
Joseph,
and he played that forever.
And he did. And he,
did,
came,
yeah.
He came. He came here with the show, and I remember seeing it. And
that
just
was when
being
Julie
in awe.
Andrews also she played the narrator.
Julie Andrews was not the narrator at this point.
Yeah,
she'd been
after.
Replaced by somebody else. But the woman who did was ridiculous.
Okay.
But no, that's when I fell in love with it. My favorite song was Those Canaan Days. And then
a
few years ago, I got the chance to be in it. And I was the brother who sang Those Canaan Days. And I brought down the fucking house.
Nice.
That a boy.
I have to say.
Also, I feel like you would really. I feel like you would be a bigger fan of Jesus Christ Superstar. If for nothing else than King Herod. And not because he's a fat guy, but because
he's not always a fat guy.
I've
seen him played as a very buff, strong guy. I've seen him played multiple ways, yes.
And I like that part. I just don't like the rest of the play as a whole.
See,
It's okay.
And I'll say two things.
It's uneven.
I'm gonna say two things.
I'll give
one,
you that
one, I can't stand Joseph. But I'm going to nerd out a little bit, and Joseph was actually written by Andrew Lloyd Webber as a sequel. Well, it's supposed to be a sequel to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
John, the very song at the end of Jesus Christ Superstar, the John 3:16 or 3:19, whatever it is, was supposed to be the beginning of the sequel for Jesus Christ Superstar, and he didn't. He kept that in Superstar and then wrote Joseph.
I was going to say, hopefully you're not insinuating that it's an actual sequel to Jesus Christ Superstar.
No.
It predates it.
He wanted to make a sequel and then wrote...
Yeah, Joseph okay. instead. Yeah.
And then I was going to say Jesus Christ Superstar for me is kind of one of my favorite ones, only because when I was in it, I played Matthew, and that cast that we had was, and to this day, the director that I worked with for hundreds of shows, I've done hundreds of shows with these two directors, and they always ask me, what's your favorite show you've worked on here? And I've always said, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Because the cast was so outstanding. There was just something, I mean, you can't explain it. And I'm sure you guys have had this where you're just in a cast that just melds and there's something beyond just doing a show that Jesus Christ Superstar was for us. And the guy that played Jesus, Phil Halstead, was amazing. Just, he could sing every note every night, get way up there. And for high schoolers, unheard of.
Yeah.
And a lot of the cast went on to do bigger and better, Broadway things. And
I love Bredder.
Bredder.
But that's kind of my show. It was kind of, you write the story kind of, but, I like the show. It's enjoyable. I like the music. And there's songs in Joseph I certainly like. The Canon Day song I like. I just don't like the show. It's just so, I'm.
What's your musical dream role?
I feel like we did this in the first episode.
We did.
But yeah, go ahead.
Producers. I would want to be Nathan Lane's character in The Producers.
Yeah, bangs all the old ladies. I love it.
Yeah. I think that, and I've said,
as long as you do it method, I'm all for it.
I think that would, if off the top of my head, that's what I would say.
Saying, Nick, is I think you need to get laid. That's my answer.
By an old woman and
just
get
laid.
Their money.
Who cares?
No.
Just, stick it in something and make it good.
Wow.
Kevin's face is my favorite.
Or to be honest with you, I would love to be like Chimney Sweep and Mary Poppins. I wouldn't even have to sing. I just want to...
You don't even have... Yeah. Just I don't want to do any other role in that show. Just be a chimney sweep.
That's fine. Chimney
sweep.
That'd be the funnest.
Yeah, the funnest.
Funniest. What's your dream musical role?
Sweeney Todd.
Really?
We have talked about this.
Yeah, we did.
And Dewey in School of Rock. I found out it was going to be a stage musical, it's...
Yeah. And this is, to just segue back real quick, School of Rock, written by Andrew... music and lyrics, I think, by Andrew Lloyd Webber and some other guy. I don't know. I only recognize Andrew Lloyd Webber's name, and immediately my eyes filled with red, and I couldn't see anything else. But then I heard the musical.
I
heard the musical, and it's good.
Yeah.
It's very good. It is not what I expected, thank God. I really expected it to be another jukebox musical.
Yeah.
It is not. It's quite good.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed the movie quite well.
Oh, I love the movie.
Yeah.
I just... You tell me there's going to be a School of Rock musical. I'm like,
and you think it's going to be just like the movie where it's going to be a jukebox musical.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, it's going to be a jukebox musical, but that's okay. And then you tell me that Andrew Lloyd Webber's writing for it, and suddenly, you know, half the Walmart's been murdered, and it's on fire.
Where did you go with that?
What just happened? I don't know.
What? That is how that
thing
is how...
just blacked out.
No, that's it.
Did he really say that? Am I smoking something? Am I chewing some fucking shrooms or something? What the fuck, Rob?
The Walmart is dead and it's on fire, and I blacked out and can't tell you what happened. That is how deep my hatred for Andrew Lloyd Webber goes.
Clearly. Yeah, and I think, yeah, we did talk about this because we, Kevin and I talked about we should be the princes in Into the Woods.
Into the Woods, yeah. That's right.
And that would be awesome.
Agony! Yes. Please, God. Quick, I need your address. We can edit this out. Or not, depending upon how many of your fans are going to come over.
Yes.
My address?
Send your hate mail, too.
Blake's getting dropped off here, and then we're going to go...
Touch each other?
Yeah, basically. Anyway, continue.
Anyways.
And back.
I honestly don't remember where we were. Oh, right. Yeah,
the
we
Hamiltons.
Have talked about... the Hamiltons. But we have talked about favorite musical role because I remember saying, because this was right when I had gotten the Hamilton soundtrack, and
yes.
I said, I would love to do Burr.
Yes.
Burr would be a lot of fun.
And that's when we discovered the wonderful thing that is Hamilton the musical.
That's right.
Yes.
That's how we discovered it.
You're welcome.
Place.
You brought this
You're
little nugget of
welcome.
Joy into our life. Although I still have yet to get the soundtrack, and I really want to.
I've listened to it. I haven't, purchased it yet, though.
Although I've listened to In the Heights, or I watched In the Heights, or parts of In the Heights, and I realized after watching it, and I know it's about New York, he's literally singing about the area that my brother lives in. So it was, even more, because I've seen that area, and I didn't live there, but I've walked through that area a few times. In
Hell's
New
Kitchen.
York. No, the Heights. Washington Heights.
Hell's Kitchen.
No.
Chelsea.
Washington Heights. North Manhattan.
I don't
Red Hook.
That doesn't... Is that even a place? Queens.
Yes.
Harlem?
Harlem.
Coney Island.
Yes. Yes.
Long Island.
No, it's
Rikers great. Island.
There's
Strikers Island. The Raft.
God damn it!
It's like a game. Who can out-nerd each other?
Wakanda! No, I'm sorry. No, that's not true. Genosha.
Genosha.
Asteroid M.
Oh,
Earth. I'm sorry. I don't know how to play this
Vulcan.
Game, apparently.
Quonos.
The fuck? Where are you going?
Remus.
Hey, do you want to talk about your upcoming project there?
Kevin? Yes!
Ooh!
Kevin's got an upcoming project.
What's your project, Kevin?
I am creating a new web series.
Oh,
okay.
That I've written. We'll be broadcasting on YouTube. We're also hopefully going to be looking into possibly putting on a site so that we can simulcast it, and that's easier to get more fans that way. But they can get updates and stuff like that.
I mean, we should combine all of our sites together.
I know. That sounds like a great idea. We should combine all of the podcasts and all of the web shows that we all do, and we should put them all together on a website.
We should.
We just came up with this idea.
What should
just
we?
Now.
What should we call this? What is obviously the natural conversation and not staged at all?
I feel like we should call it Geek by Numbers.
I love it.
I dig it.
I've never heard that name before.
Neither have I. We should do this, Rob. It's a great idea.
We're aspiring actors, everyone.
And we're all going to be in this web series.
But yeah, so
references available on request.
So yeah, I'm designing a web series. It's going to be quasi office like, if not Arturian or IT crowd.
I'm sticking with Arturian.
I like that.
You should just not Arthurian, Arturian.
Yeah, we need
not Archer-esque Arturian.
But so. It is live action. But it's going to be set in basically the logistics and office work that is running a group lair. Of supervillains, and it's going to be called The Lair. I myself will be playing the Michael Scott meets Doctor Doom-ish character, and I have Nick also in it playing one of the lead characters as well.
I'm going to get a throwaway part because he didn't bring me in early.
You're going to be the Kenny of them.
I'm actually okay with that. I think that's funny.
Because we do have a role that we haven't cast yet, and I am thinking Rob for it. I was originally thinking a girl just because every time this character dies and comes back, they're going to come back in a different terrible disguise. And I just thought like the fake mustache on a girl would be funny.
That would be funny. On the other hand, a dude in a wig is also funny.
Dude in a wig is also pretty funny.
We can have Rob shave his beard.
I don't want to do it anymore now.
Good.
And then put on a fake mustache and beard.
But no, I have the first few episodes written already. Nice. And the rest of the season conceptualized.
I've read them and they're funny.
Yeah. I like them. So we're having our first cast meeting tomorrow.
Yay.
Cool. Yeah, so we're getting it off the ground and... we have one of the actors who kind of plays this chauvinistic Tony Stark Barney Stinson with the powers of Poison Ivy character is the most handsome human being I have ever met in my life. His eyes are enchanting. And I'm very excited to work on the show with him because he's going to bring in the ladies and a few guys too. Yep.
I'm okay with this.
But no, it's...
Visual
it's,
gag on an audio podcast. I raised my hand.
But no, it's coming along well. I find that every time I sit down to type a script, it just the words just
right.
pour out of my fingers. This is the most fun I've ever done writing, and I'm very excited about this project. Nice. I can't wait to get it off the ground and show you guys my load. Wait. Yeah, no, that's right.
Well, if this guy's as good as you, good looking as you say is, I'm sure everybody's going to see each other's load. Be right? Dropping a few of those in my pants or something. I don't know.
Plus what? Megan's
Whoa,
boobs.
Whoa.
Plus Megan's what? Boobs.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to see Megan's boobs?
I mean, not all of them. We can only do... Yeah, there's literally a scene where she squishes them together.
Yeah.
Yay!
Hold on, I have to take a call, I guess.
What? He's got to take a call?
What? This is some bullshit.
Bum, 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 bum. And, no, it's just Rob and I. What?
It is just Nick and I. But yeah, the joke before, we're talking about a new website for the show and a couple of the other shows that we're all sort of related to.
Yeah, your other podcast. And
my other podcast,
Crystals.
Crystals, Kevin's girlfriend, Crystals,
book review
series that she does. And nothing is finalized yet, but we'll figure it out.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Like
Details
every guy.
To come later.
Like every guy, we get there eventually.
Yeah.
We don't want to rush things here.
Yeah. But details to come later on that. Because we have not even had our first
meeting. Yeah, then coming up, I think. Is it before? When's our next podcast? Let me pull up the calendar here. Hold on. Wait for it.
You could have done this while he was on the phone.
I could have. I was just trying to think. It was our next podcast going to be from Con, but our next technical scheduled podcast would be 2 weeks from now. But we could wait an extra week and do it at Con.
I agree with this.
We'll all be there. So
we'll all be there. And I imagine we're probably going to set up all of the recording equipment in the same space.
What are you talking about? Nobody else is going to do a podcast from Convergence.
No, no one would ever.
Why
do
would
that?
They do that?
That makes no
We're
sense.
We're going to be trendsetters.
I'm fairly certain that should be the episode where we just do the mega episode.
We could.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah. Especially because Crystal, Rob, Bernadette, and I are all rooming together. So.
Yeah. It's true. And I have a fourth mic, so people can share.
Yeah.
Well, and I also have my equipment, so we can actually record on two computers at the same time.
Holy shit!
Sync up the audio.
Actually, you could just run this would be okay. Since you have the similar board, just run it into my computer, and we'll just do two boards into one.
It doesn't
computer.
Work that way, actually. But
it does.
It doesn't.
It does.
No.
Shut up, Rob.
I've tried it.
All right. Anyway, so Where are we going?
Quick. I finished up Arrowverse for this season.
Yes.
This is a tomorrow. Nice.
Yeah, with the Justice Society. Very cool.
Yeah.
And
that was cool. Yeah. I still say I want Wentworth Miller to come back next season because he was delightful. I loved him.
Yes.
And it's, spoilers, folks, it's too bad Captain Cold fucking biffed it.
They'll bring him back.
I want them to bring him back because he was wonderful.
Yeah.
Although Greg Berlanti, creator of the Arrowverse, has said that he wants to do Legends of Tomorrow as more of like an anthology series.
Okay.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. Because we need something a little different.
Yeah, but that means Wentworth Miller doesn't come back.
Yeah, they can find a way.
I'm sure they can, but... oh, God, I love him. He was so... He was the best villain out of... He was the best villain on the Arrowverse, in the Arrowverse, in my opinion.
It's because he was the...
And that beats out Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Slade Wilson was awesome, but Captain Cold was just, delicious. Just campily delicious. I loved him.
I still think they can find a way to bring him back.
I think they could, but...
when I first saw him as Captain Cold, I was annoyed at how campy he was, and then I realized that was his best feature.
Yeah.
And Crystal can't watch it without giggling about Dinotopia, I guess.
Like all right, because he was in Dinotopia.
Yes, he was.
That's too bad.
Right? That's what I said.
It's the same thing I think about when think of David Boreanaz. Yes, he did Angel and Bones. Awesome. He also did one of the Crow movies.
Crow 4.
Yeah, that's too bad. He has done some amazing work, but let's never forget that
he
did that.
He was also the voice of Squall in the first Kingdom Hearts game.
Yes, he was. And the second one.
Nope.
No, who's in the series?
Some guy, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways. But, yes. No, Wentworth Miller was wonderful, and highlight of the show.
And I was looking forward to the relationship between him and White Canary.
Right?
God damn it. She is just a joy. I adore that girl. And I'm really glad they keep bringing her back from the dead, because she's not like on her fifth life.
Something like that.
She's like the hot Solomon Grundy.
Hodor.
Still too soon, man.
I'm sorry. I might be going to hell, but at least somebody will be there to hold the door. I'm just saying.
Oh, God damn it.
I've been saving that joke.
Like Hodor isn't going straight to heaven, that beautiful, perfect son of a bitch.
His only crime in life was being friends with Bran.
Right? Fucked up his whole life.
Right.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I saw some,
God, that beautiful bastard. I saw
something the other day. I was like, if you think you have a worthless character on TV or you think you're the worthless character, it's like, you could be worse. You could be Rickon Stark. Because he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, it's true.
And now he's captured by the Boltons, and
now they're gonna do naughty things to him. Because that's fucking awful.
No, they're probably just prison. I think they'll just lock him up.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I think he knows better than to torture the guy that's his only key to anything.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Still, my overall review of Arrow this season.
It was a very meh season.
It was kind of a meh season. Loved Neil McDonough. He was a delight every time they put him on screen. With the addendum of the last like four or five episodes of the season,
it was hard for me to really pay attention to them. I found myself doing other things while I was watching.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed like the end. Like they're taking it back to basics, and I don't know what people are bitching
about. Yeah, where it's straight up Oliver and Felicity, and I like that.
And I
don't know how I feel about this new Oliver-Felicity relationship thing that's happening.
I don't know why people hate on Felicity so bad. And I'm really glad that Stephen Amell took time to go onto his Facebook and say, listen, guys, leave it alone. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. And I don't understand where all this rage is coming from. But you guys need to put it away. Because, like, the fans are brutal towards her. Huh. Just read some of the Facebook comments.
I refuse.
They are awful.
I do not read comments because they make me hate humanity, and I enjoy this strange world that I live in.
People say awful things about her, and I adore Felicity. And we've talked about this. I hate her mom, but I love Felicity.
Yeah. But it was a little like the last My thing is that Berlanti and Stephen Amell and like everyone involved in the show at the beginning of the season were like, yeah, we're going for a lighter, more fun feel. Did not deliver. Never delivered on that promise. Not once. The first episode, maybe a little bit.
I want Roy to come back.
Right? Oh, I want him back.
Beautiful gay son of a bitch.
Oh, right? Also, thank God he finally came out.
Right? I mean, because everyone was like, okay, and...
We
I'm
know.
Gay, and I'm doing a new show. I'm gay, and
are you promoting something right now?
I just bought a pony.
Like, we all knew you were gay. It's okay. We don't actually have that big of a problem. But then he was like, I left Arrow because I was having just massive depression and anxiety. And I was like, oh, it was because you were gay? That's really horrible.
So I'm hoping that now that he's...
I'm hoping that now that he's
has been lifted off his shoulders, he can come back and be Arsenal and...
Yeah, me too. I hope that's what happens.
Because I loved him on that show.
Yeah, he was great.
And I miss What's-Her-Face. His little buddy.
Oh, remember?
She was in something I saw recently too.
What is her fucking name? And she was Sarah's little buddy too.
Yeah.
Shit, who is that? Jinx? Nyx?
Something like
Jix?
That.
Fucking, I don't remember what her goddamn name is, but she was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really liked her. And the actor, like she is specifically cagey about gender and sexuality because she's like doesn't fucking matter. She is a wonderful human being. I saw a video a while back where it's like a Snapchat video of her and her buddy just hanging out watching TV and her buddy goes, "Hey, do you like girls? Am I fucking you? No? Then it doesn't fucking matter." She's like, "That's awesome. Well done." But then Flash
Sin. Was the character's name? And Bex Taylor Klaus.
Bex Taylor. That's why I was thinking Jix, because I knew the X was in my head somewhere. But yeah, Bex Taylor Klaus. They are delightful. And yeah, they're a very interesting human.
iZombie. That's what I recently saw, right?
Oh, she was in iZombie?
A few episodes.
Oh, interesting. But yeah, no, overall, I think Arrow is going to do much better next season if they bring back, because they've already talked about it, it's going to be, the big bad of the season is going to be someone without powers. And everyone keeps sort of hinting at this idea of they want to go sort of in the direction of Daredevil season 2.
Yeah.
Where it's more of a Punisher versus Daredevil, where it's like, you know, the storyline is more along the lines of competing ideologies, which I like.
And the reason why this entire season happened is because when Arrow first came out, it was very grounded in reality. They weren't doing the magic. They weren't doing any kind of metas.
Right.
But then they brought in Flash, and they had to introduce the idea that there are other things. And so mm-hmm. So this was something they had to do.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this season gave us Constantine as part of canon.
Yeah. That was nice. I hope they get him to come back.
Me too.
Yeah.
Just in any way possible.
Yeah. Because he was... I never saw the show, but I saw him... But I watched the episode that he was in. It was great. I loved him in that episode.
I saw a couple episodes of Constantine. I never saw the whole thing. But he's perfect. And they were bringing in Dr. Fate on it, too. Like, his helmet was in it.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I missed that.
Which means that, in theory, they could now bring him into this universe Dr.
Fate?
Well. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hope not. That's too much power. It's too much power. That's
well, fuck, they got a Kryptonian now.
Me. There's a Kryptonian that exists on the same network. They still haven't decided if it's a parallel universe. Well, actually, that's not true. They did already talk about a four-way crossover.
They did.
Sorry, that news has been released. We're probably getting a four-way crossover
really
next
sad
season
that
with
Supergirl,
Flash, Arrow, and Legends.
And I'm really sad that Supergirl will be airing at the same time as Gotham. Because despite how cuckoo bananas Gotham has gotten, I will be watching that one live as opposed to Supergirl.
I didn't watch any of the first season of Supergirl. None of it.
I watched the first episode, and I was really turned off by Jimmy Olsen.
Why?
Because.
Like, that was the reason I kind of wanted to watch it.
Because I don't care what color he is. I'm perfectly fine with him being black. He's too cool! Jimmy Olsen should not be cooler and better looking than me. I do not accept that.
Ha 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 ha
Once again, I think our listening audience really would enjoy this better if they could see the expressions of Kevin's face while
these are the going days on where I'm just like,
I think
need
not only should this
cast.
Big podcast at Convergence, I think we should have a video feed of it as well.
Right. Sure. Let's do it.
I think you're right.
And we should. I don't know how to... I'm sure there's a way to do that.
Well, Crystal has a pretty decent camera.
Oh, she?
No.
Because we turned on my... Because
she does YouTube. She does videos for her reviews. So.
Oh, so yeah. we're gonna record the... record simulcast is what you're talking
yes.
about. We'll do a podcast and a YouTube cast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Really quickly, before we get out of here, Flash loved the season. Thought it was delightful.
Ending pissed me off because it's too soon for Flashpoint.
It is too soon for Flashpoint.
And we also talked about the fact that there's like 7 Flashes in that room by this point.
Yeah. Yes, we did talk about that.
I think we actually counted. It's like 5.
Is it? Yeah,
five
no,
or
that's
six,
right. We
five or six
five.
Berries in that room at
there
this point.
There are 5 or 6. There are 5 berries in that room. One in the closet, one running around. You're welcome.
It really is a multiverse.
yeah, one in the closet. Little Barry, one running
Barry,
around.
Barry who's racing.
Barry
who stops Barry in the closet.
Yep.
Barry who beats the shit out of Zoom.
wait. You mean Barry that stops Barry from coming out of the closet?
Correct.
Barry? Yeah. All
right. Don't do it, Wally's just not that into you.
By the way, did you recently see one of the frames from DC Rebirth?
I haven't seen anything from Rebirth yet. I'm waiting because I'm gonna buy it, and I cannot wait to eye guzzle that entire
thing. There's one panel that showed up, and it's a shot of Wally and Barry standing together.
And they
and
hug it
Wally's
out.
Wally's in his Kid Flash outfit, and Barry just goes. And they hug it out.
I have
Barry
seen
goes,
that, actually.
And Barry goes, how could I ever forget you? And I'm like,
I saw that scene. It brought me such just pure joy.
Right?
Because I was so angry at the characters that they just deleted for the sake of New 52.
Well,
and
And
Wally has always been Flash to me. Because he's the Flash I really grew up
yeah.
with in the 90s.
Well, because that was the only Flash we had.
Yeah.
He was even the Flash on Justice League.
Because Barry had gone off to fuck all.
The Speed Force.
Speaking, mm-hmm. speaking of
also known
one,
as fuck all.
Speaking of one panels of comics, real quick if we can. I don't know if it's going to be quick, but the last panel of the recent Captain America.
Oh no!
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 Okay.
No!
No! You don't want to talk about it, or
just, I don't want it to be a thing. Like,
oh,
like,
I just,
like,
you know,
the guy who plays Coulson is all like, "Oh, I'm interested to see where they're going," and all these people are saying, "Oh, let's just see." I don't want to. There are characters you can make evil for the sake of a storyline, and I'm okay with that. But Captain America, him being a Hydra agent this entire time, that is shitting on not only every person who ever grew up reading comic books, but little kids now who idolize him and finding out that their hero is a fucking lie who was written by 2 fucking Jews, as a matter of fact, to all of a sudden make him part of a Nazi corporation is fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That is everything I wanted to say, but with somehow less anger.
I agree. I don't disagree.
I know you are fuming at this, and I want to. You know, I'm so angry. I'm having trouble vocalizing what I'm thinking.
If it turns out he's some kind of triple agent, fine.
It's a dumb storyline.
But it's not something that should have been done in the first place.
No.
Do you think, and I've heard this rumor that they just did it like as a carryover, or not a carryover, but like a moment where he says a line, but it's not meant to be construed as he's saying Hail Hydra, but he's saying it like because maybe the person he killed was the double agent, and now he's like saying it as a quip line, like a...
I can't think of the way I want to describe it.
I know what you're trying to think of. Like, basically, he kills a Hydra agent and says, Hail Hydra, that motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
right.
It's just been revoked, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't...
Okay.
No.
It's... Yeah, what you're talking about is, like, the forced perspective idea.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. That's just something I'd heard that they said that...
I
get people, like, just hyped up about it, and then, I don't know.
It sounds awful. Like, it sounds... Captain America, one would never straight up, you know, murk a guy, because... Two, he would never say Hail Hydra and reveal himself to be a Hydra agent, because, first of all, he's smarter than that. Like, later on down the road, maybe we find out that he's been working with Hydra for this one thing. That, maybe? I don't... I would still feel dirty about it, but
if it was like some collaborative project for like a greater good kind of thing, because sometimes the good guys and the bad guys have to team up against a bigger bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four against Galactus.
That's literally what I was about to bring up.
Oh.
Aww.
Good for you.
Nerd love.
We're on the same level. Here.
Well, that being said, this has been best threesome ever.
Now I'm half crying.
This has been best threesome ever, whatever episode we're on, 13 and a half, 13 whatever you want to call it.
Laverne again.
Laverne again.
I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm pissed off. Or Kevin.
One of the two.
Or Coleman Slosky.
Incidentally, my favorite name ever. Good night, everybody.
Sponsored by Mind's Eye Comics. We'll see you next time. Oh, Jesus.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.